The new Marquette Law School survey released this afternoon gives us the latest on the opinions of Wisconsin voters.
The candidates on the Democratic side of the presidential ticket are separated by just 1 point, but Donald Trump is holding a decent-sized lead over his Republican counterparts.
The poll also looks at Wisconsinites' opinions on the state Supreme Court race, who they like between Senator Ron Johnson and Russ Feingold, and more.
Joining us now to talk about the results of the survey, we have Charles Franklin with us. He's professor of law and public policy at Marquette University. And director of the Marquette Law School Poll. He's also the co-founder of Pollster.com and founder of PollsandVotes.com. Charles, good to have you back.
Good to be here.
Well, let's start with the Democratic side of the presidential race here in Wisconsin. Tightening up, it looks like. What do the new numbers tell us?
Yes, it's a dead heat at this point. Clinton at 43, but Sanders at 44, 1 point ahead. Now, the margin of error here is 6.9 points, so 1 point difference is very much inside the margin of error. But in January, it was Clinton 45, Sanders 43, also essentially a dead heat. But back in November, Clinton had a 9 point lead, 50 to 41. So we're seeing the tightening of that race from November to January stay very tight, and with Sanders taking just the very slightest of advantages now.
And do you think that follows on what's been going on nationwide with Sanders picking up some wins or close second places, Iowa, New Hampshire?
Well, certainly over the long haul, this is very much true, as Clinton had a 12-point lead last September. Our poll was conducted after Iowa and New Hampshire were done, but before Nevada was done. So the effects here are really from the first two events, one of which was essentially a tie, and the other, of course, Sanders won strongly. Sanders' performance here is driven by his appeal to independents and independents who lean to the Democratic Party and say they will vote in the Democratic primary. Clinton is especially strong among people who consider themselves strong Democratic identifiers.
Let's go to the Republican side. Donald Trump pulling ahead a little bit with the lead here from the previous survey. So what are we seeing on the Republican side?
Yeah, a little movement up for Trump. He was at 24% in January, now at 30%, so that's a 6-point increase for him. Rubio is now at 20, up 2 points from last month, and Cruz at 19, up 3 points from last month. So the poll is quite consistent in who the top three are, but is giving Trump a little bit more of an advantage in that race than he had a month ago.
Now, I got to ask you about favorability here. This is when you're not asking who you're going to vote for, but how do you view the candidate? People say favorable, unfavorable. To get the favorability rating, you subtract the bad from the good, as I understand it.
Yes.
So, all right, Donald Trump, his favorability rating comes out to zero among Republicans. Negative when you include everybody. So have we ever seen something like this? This is their front runner. He's viewed as the most likely candidate, a zero favorability rating in the party he's running in.
This reflects just how unusual this year's races are and how different they are from the normal. With Trump, that zero is coming from 45% of Republicans who view him favorably, but another 45% that view him unfavorably. In contrast, Ted Cruz is at positive 46 and Marco Rubio at positive 47. So this is really exceptional for a front runner to have the front runner status because they have a strong support within the party, even though they also have strong opposition within the party. And that's been the key to Trump so far, is enough supporters within the party and a fractured enough field that he has consistently been finishing in first place with votes and polls typically in the 30s, though he was in the high 40s in the Nevada contest on Tuesday night.
Staying with the presidential race for a bit, you also did head-to-head. So Clinton against Trump, Sanders against Rubio, the various permutations there. What struck you about what came out from that?
Well, we've been doing this for a while, and the thing that's striking is that Clinton is essentially tied with Cruz and Rubio. She's exactly tied with Cruz, 43-43, and has a 1 point edge on Rubio, 44-43. Against Trump, she leads by 10 points in the November election. But the contrast here is that Bernie Sanders does a good deal better against each of those Republicans. If Clinton has a 10-point lead over Trump, Sanders has a 20-point lead, 54-34. And Sanders has an 18-point lead over both Cruz and Rubio when it comes to the general election. So how can this be, given that they're essentially Clinton and Sanders are essentially tied within the party? It's coming from Sanders' strength with independent voters, who he wins over in substantial numbers in the general election, whereas Clinton has problems with those independent voters who have a net negative view of her, and that makes her a weaker candidate for November. Again, the striking point here is that as a front runner, you have weakness among independents in Clinton's case.
Talking to Charles Franklin right now about the new Marquette University Law School poll released just a little while ago today, looking at the opinions of voters from around the state.
And we'd like to hear from you. Do you know who you'll be voting for in the April presidential primary here in Wisconsin? If not, what could a candidate do to win you over? How about the state Supreme Court race or the race between Senator Johnson and Russ Feingold? Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
We'll pick up this discussion with Charles Franklin and look at some of those races here in the state in just a bit.
But first, I'm here with Michelle Good, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Our goal is to keep bringing you timely, important topics like discussions of this Marquette Law School poll that was just released today, looking at how Wisconsin voters are leaning. Earlier, we talked about the replacements for the Government Accountability Board, all very timely and important topics to your life in Wisconsin. Your support is what makes these conversations happen. So give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you couldn't have a better time to make your pledge because we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500 in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge because Urban Land Interests in Madison will double every dollar that you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. Double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, each and every morning, the Central Time team meets to look at the day's programming, to assess how we did the day before. We look for the balance of really timely, important political topics that are important for voters to know about, and then more fun things. We talked about the fishing expo earlier, or we talk about things that are happening in the general pop culture.
Snow sculpting yesterday.
A little bit of everything is the mix that we strive for, things that will both entertain and keep you educated and informed. You don't get a show like this anywhere else. And this show is possible, pledge by pledge, only on listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. So please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Since we launched our Sustainer program, thousands of members have made the switch by providing a steady, reliable stream of support to WPR. They make monthly automatic gifts. That security comes with benefits, both for you and for us.
We can focus more of our resources on programming, and you don't have to remember to renew your membership each year because it automatically rolls over. Becoming a Sustainer today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is a really great sign of how much you value the programming. And you can start with maybe $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose.
WPR has been around for a long time. As a matter of fact, we are coming up on our 100-year anniversary.
That's amazing.
And that is because we are committed to quality. That quality is possible thanks to you. Listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget.
Your contribution makes this program possible and so many others as well. You're part of the quality you hear every day on WPR when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. We've got, I'm terrible at math. We've got a lot of money still out there.
$1,700 left.
Make that pledge right now. Take advantage. Your money goes twice as far when you give right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your money will go twice as far when you make that pledge. And thank you.
You never know what you're going to get on the Joy Cardine Show weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
I'm a native of Wisconsin and annoyingly proud of this state. The rest of the world does not have great cheese. No one knows what a brat is.
On Monday morning, I know what I'm going to eat on Friday evening. My wife and I go out to fish fry as a matter of routine.
Add your voice to the mix of lively guests with different perspectives. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on the Joy Cardine Show.
On Point, to the best of our knowledge, Zorba Pastor on Your Health. These programs and many more are possible thanks to listener support. You can learn about WPR programs, schedules, and so much more at WPR.org. Thank you. Support also comes from Dean and St. Mary's Cardiac Center, dedicated to delivering advanced heart treatment with compassion. We listen to more than just your heart. Details on services provided at deancare.com/cardiac.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson. We're finding out what Wisconsin thinks of the candidates in the races for president, Senate, and state Supreme Court. And we want to hear from you.
Who do you like in any of those contests? Who are you voting for in a presidential primary in April, if they're still on the ballot by then? Call 800-642-1234. We continue our conversation with Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette University Law School poll. Let's take a caller on presidential politics. We've got Matthew on the line in Milwaukee. Matthew, hi.
Hello. Good afternoon. Love the show. Thank you so much.
Thanks. What do you think?
Honestly, guys, don't judge me, but I voted Democrat for a president ever since I could vote. And I'm going to vote for Trump this election. And I'm getting, of course, as you can imagine, a lot of ridicule from my peers. However, to me, the only conclusion I can think of, and I just want your opinion on this, Professor, that the reason Trump is doing so well, do you think it's just because he's self-funded? He's not taking lobbyist money at all? To me, I kind of feel that's where my vote is going this year because of that fact.
Matthew, thanks a lot for that call. And Charles, it kind of reminds me of the argument that Herb Kohl made. Nobody's senator but yours. He had enough money to fund his own campaigns. And Donald Trump has kind of made that case, too. Hey, I could pay my own way here.
And it's something that he's repeatedly stressed. It's ironic that that's also an element of Bernie Sanders' argument, that he's being funded by small contributors. This question of money in politics is something that voters give survey responses saying how much they distrust the impact of money in politics, but rarely do they get a chance to choose among candidates, one of whom at least is largely, if not completely, self-funding, as is Trump. But that question of interest group and special interest influence through money is something that supporters really within both parties find troubling. We just simply haven't seen it emerge as a major issue in a campaign in which the candidates really differed on that. Maybe this time we will.
Matthew, thanks a lot for that call. We'll go next to Tony in Menominee Falls, bringing us to another race. Tony, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
I'll be voting for Hillary Clinton.
Uh-huh. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
For the president, I'll be voting for Hillary Clinton. I think she's got the experience to lead the country. For the state Supreme Court justice, I'll be voting for Kloppenberg. And for U.S. Senate race, I'll be voting for Russ Feingold. I believe all those people bring the diversity of thought that we need for the country right now.
Tony, thanks for that call. Supporting the Democratic candidates, some of them, the candidate viewed as supported by liberals in that Supreme Court race. Let's go to that Supreme Court race now, Charles Franklin. What did you find out there? Close race there, too.
Very, very close. In fact, as close as it can get. Among all registered voters, Bradley 30%, Kloppenberg 30%, and a whopping 31% who say they don't know who they would vote for in that race. When we push it a little bit to look at people who say they're absolutely certain they'll vote in April, it's still a tie, 37% for Bradley, 36% for Kloppenberg, and a full 23% who say they don't know. So it seems very clear on this race that voters have a lot of minds to make up before they settle on it, but the two candidates start out as dead even as they could possibly be.
But court races, there tends to be a lot of people unfamiliar with these candidates. These are not household names. They rarely are.
And that is one major issue. The other is, because it's a nonpartisan election, voters don't have the cue of a party label, especially on the ballot on election day. And that means that it's harder for voters who only casually pay attention to politics to easily sort out who's the candidate that they might agree with the most. We will see, I predict, an enormous amount of advertising between now and April 5th on that race. We'll see how much voters develop opinions about the candidates and who in the end that advantages.
Want to check out a couple other races before we're done. The U.S. Senate race, Ron Johnson, Russ Feingold, numbers holding pretty steady there from your previous surveys.
Here the numbers are just rock steady. It was 49-37 Feingold over Johnson this time, but a month ago it was 50-37, and a month before that it was 49-38. These numbers just haven't moved all year. I think it reflects the fact that people approach the race with their views, but that the race really hasn't developed yet, and therefore there hasn't been much shifting of opinion. Who knows which direction it'll go as the race heats up over the summer and fall, but for the last year, this has been basically a 10-point race plus or minus a point or two.
There's been concern for the Johnson campaign over name recognition. A lot of people still not identifying him, despite being the sitting senator. Any new updates on that?
Yeah, he's still a bit less well-known than Feingold. There's a little bit more recognition of both him and Feingold compared to our January poll. But in January, both of their don't-know rates ticked up a little bit, as if people maybe took the Christmas and New Year's holidays and took a break from politics for a little bit.
And let's wrap up with a look at Governor Walker's approval numbers. They've been lower than they had been since his presidential campaign.
And we're not seeing much change there. He's at 39% approved, 55 disapproved now. Back in September, it was 37 approved, 59 disapproved. So there's been a gradual decline in disapprove by 4 points since September and a 2-point rise since September in approval. But I think this is largely to be expected. Approval ratings usually change slowly, and the question here is, can the governor win back the support that he's lost, and how long does it take? But the idea that these numbers would turn around in a very short period of time after he left the presidential race, I think clearly is not happening.
Charles, thanks as always for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Charles Franklin with Marquette University talking about the latest Marquette Law School survey released this afternoon.